When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, kiddies. This is your Ghoulie, the Crypt Keeper, and you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio with your host Mikey Bones and Rob Humphrey, but we are missing a Miss Cat Lore. What's going on, Robert?
What's up, chocolate covered butt nuggets?
No.
What?
No.
What?
No, you can't. I'm putting a strong halt on that right now. First of all, why have for like over a month now you started every single show with calling the listeners A, butt nuggets, and B, in different term to describe a butt nugget, a different form of butt nugget, and it like we get mad at you every time you continue to do it. Why chocolate covered? What's wrong with
you? I don't know. I just seem like a you know, I'm just trying different things out. I thought maybe that one would work, but apparently you don't like that one either.
Okay, Rob, hold on. Come here. Listen, real quick.
What?
Stop trying stuff out.
If I don't try it out, I'll never know if it works. And unfortunately, Kat's not here, so we didn't get her decision on that one.
We don't need one. I said no. That one's disgusting. If you say it again, it's going to be a bleep.
You can't bleep me for everything I say.
Stop saying things that need to be bleeped. Moving forward.
You're a nugget.
Okay. All right. Kat is doing another book con. I think it's another author con, Rob.
Yeah, correct? She's driving a bookmobile around St. Louis, yeah.
Okay, that's hysterical. All right. Yeah, no Cat this week, but we have a very, 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 very special episode. We are joined, before we even get to that, we are going to have Spencer Charnas from Ice Nine Kills on to talk about their upcoming track, out today, a work of art. It is for the Terrifier 3 film, which is also out today. So we'll talk a little bit about all that shit in a minute. We're going to have Spencer on in a second to talk to you guys. But before that, we are going to be joined with the actually, there's a lot to get to here, Rob. I'm very confused. All right. Kat will be on the interview that you guys are going to hear. But for the remainder of this episode, we are going to be joined by two special guests. One that everybody is familiar with who has listened to the show for any period of time. Mr. IR Chris.
Hell of a deal.
How are you, Chris?
Doing good. You sun-dried dingleberries?
No, it's all right.
I don't like it, but it's better than the butt nugget things that you've been doing.
What are the sun-dried butt nuggets?
Yeah, no, I don't like that one.
All right.
You can't do more than one show. But yeah, Chris, how are you? Why are you doing that? How you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I'm just happy to be here to talk about music.
Yes. We are also joined. I guess we can call her a special guest. Somewhat infamous. This is their first time appearing on the show. This person has been referenced. They are a fixture in our Discord for better and worse. We are joined by Aggie. How are you doing, Agatha?
You can suck it. I'm doing wonderful. I just want to let Rob know that he needs to stop making fetch a thing because it's not going to be a thing.
It's not.
It might be a thing. I don't know. We just haven't found the right one yet.
No, it's not catchy enough. Try better.
Yeah, not at all. We are joined by Aggie and Chris because everybody knows, our diehard listeners, like our regular listeners, are pretty familiar with, because music is maybe not so much on the main show, but it is a big part of like the show as a whole. We have killer beats that we do over on our Patreon. A lot of music stuff does get talked about within, you know, our community in general. Our tastes in music are pretty well defined amongst me, you, and Kat, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Nine Kills, not so much. Like, I'm a rap guy. Rob, you have your own. Like, what would you consider your go-to genre of music, Rob? I don't even know how to describe you.
I mean, it's like rock music, but it's not that kind of rock music. You know what I mean?
Typically, yeah. But Chris and Aggie are huge Ice Nine Kills fans, so we figured it would be good to have some real diehards on the show to kind of go over this stuff with us, so we can touch every corner and make sure we're doing it properly. But we do have drink roll call to get to really quick before we get you over to that interview with Spencer. That's right. We don't have a text message or nothing this week.
Wow. We don't. I thought we had a text message. We don't have one.
No text message. Unless I'm forgetting one.
No, I thought last week. I thought you said we had another one.
Oh, we did have something. We'll do that next week when Kat's here, because it was kind of Patreon related.
Okay.
Yeah, so that one wasn't a text message. It was a comment on the Patreon from Will, but it was so lengthy that I figured we would just incorporate it. But that's more of a Cat thing as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I say from Chris, from Will? I don't know what I'm talking about right now. Drink roll call. I, believe it or not, am not drinking anything alcoholic, but I am enjoying my greenery. So I'm feeling really, really good.
All right.
Good, Rob, what are you drinking?
Yeah. I am drinking a Diet Pepsi.
We can't both be boring.
Huh? I know. When you said you were going to be boring, I thought, oh boy, this is going to be something. Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't in the mood tonight to like make a drink.
Yeah, fair enough.
Probably because I just woke up a few hours ago.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's a mess.
All right. Chris, what you got, man?
I've had some beers earlier today, but right now, as it's getting late, I'm just having some water to stay hydrated.
There you go. It's important to stay hydrated.
Agatha, I know you have something special, and it's kind of unfortunate that Aggie is like came so hard for drink roll call, but yet the three of us are like womps. Aggie, what you drinking?
I am just sitting here fuming at the moment because apparently I'm the only one who likes to have fun, you other fun suckers. But I am drinking a strawberry margarita. That is made by Cutwater.
Oh, nice.
Margarita in a can.
Margarita in a can. Look out. ABV. Look out.
So wait, Aggie, you said that's 10%?
This one is 10% ABV. Yes.
A little less than the regular margarita in a can, huh, Rob?
Yeah, that's kind of surprising, honestly, but yeah.
Still a lot, though.
Yeah. How do they taste? I haven't had the strawberry ones.
They're actually really good. They're not too sweet, which I enjoy because I'm not a super like fruity, really sweet drink fan. It's just like a nice little, not hint of strawberry, but like a good flavoring of strawberry, but like a good margarita taste that just kicks you kind of in the butt.
Nice. Mikey really likes those fruity drinks.
It's true. I can't even lie. It's true. All right, Aggie, now, okay, we got to go. Whenever somebody's drinking Cutwater, we got to talk about it. How many of these have you had so far?
I am starting number two. I just cracked number two open.
Uh-oh, Rob.
Here we go.
Are you, hey, how many? Hey. What?
I ate before I drank, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, that don't matter. All right. So did Greg. So how many do you have any left after this? Like, how many do you have available to you right now?
Well, I have one more strawberry margarita because I drank one the other night, and then I have a whole 4-pack of the Mai Tais.
Oh, shit.
Nice. She's going for the world record.
Yeah. Do you have any intention, Aggie, of going for the world record of 4 tonight?
No, because I already matched that world record, if you remember, when I was on vacation back in July.
Yeah, but that was over like 10 hours. We're talking like one sitting. You said it was.
No, it was over like 3 hours.
I don't remember that.
I was sitting on the beach for like 3 hours.
No, you probably fell asleep for like 4 hours like Rob did after going to sleep for the whole last night. Again, whole nother issue. All right, so good luck, Godspeed, and all that stuff, Aggie.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to get you guys over to our interview with
Spencer.
Well,
wait, Michael. What? You're forgetting the most important segment.
What?
Hit the button.
Are you kidding me, man? Cat's not even...
Go back to turning tricks and old folk and you'll fade in the ass.
Mm, I hate this.
It got my mouth.
This is the Gabagoolie Mystery Corner, where our listeners anonymously send in Italian memes making fun of me for being Italian. Don't look for any horror tie in here. New listeners to this show probably turn off every time when they hear this. Like, they're like, what the hell is this? This is the horror? Like, what are they doing
they
here?
Don't, just talking they about don't turn it off. They listen and they enjoy it. And the ones who don't enjoy it, you can just skip forward. Your thing has a button. Skip 30 seconds.
The memes go up on Patreon. Try my best to describe them on the show.
I added it to the Zoom chat so Aggie can see, since I don't have her on X.
Oh, boy. Wow. I'm gonna figure out. Hold on. Let's see.
Wow. This. Oh. That's a good one.
I'm going to get canceled for this. I did can't Kat describe send this
one to you, or did you find it here on your own, Chris?
This came from the sold out merch desk of Kat Velour.
Wow. Oh my, okay, wait. So this was actually submitted by Kat. So you broke the number one rule and told me where it came from, which I appreciate, Chris. What?
Are we sure that somebody didn't submit it to Kat?
No. And it was provided to me from the sold out merch desk of Kat Velour.
Yeah, so some anonymous person submitted it to Kat, and she knew she wasn't going to be here, so she sent it to Chris.
Okay, I thought maybe Kat, like, seen this out and about in her travels for her AuthorCon, and this is, you know, what she's seen in some fucking merch store or something. I don't know.
I don't think they would sell this at AuthorCon.
I don't think we should talk about it on a podcast either, but here we are, Rob. Okay, the shirt, it's a white shirt. I don't like this. I just want it on record. Like, I don't like this. This is not me. This is the shirt that was submitted by a listener who does not care about demographics or anything whatsoever, clearly. It reads, in green and red, too, on a white shirt. So Italian flag colors is what's going on here. It says, Italian, too. I mean, I don't like it. Like, I don't know. It's also next to like a pink furry bag with like gold zipper and everything else. Where is this? Like I'm more perplexed of where
it
is.
Yeah, there's like a Route 66 thing next to it.
Right. There's a fucking NYPD. Like, I don't know what that is. Is that a sign they stole from the police department? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know where you'd find this.
Is this an evidence room in the NYPD for some psychopath? Like, what's going on here?
I'm pretty sure this was taken from your closet.
Oh, could be.
Okay, first of all, I would never own this shirt. And secondly, more so, would never own that pink-purple bag thing next to it. Even more than, I'd have the shirt before I would have the bag. All right?
So pink drinks are okay, but bags aren't? Is that what you're telling me?
Sure. Why not? All right. Well, that happened.
It certainly did.
That sure happened. This segment is going to get us in trouble one day. Like, I swear to God, like, it's going to be the death of everything.
I think that day's today. I think that day's today.
Yeah, what a great time to debut this shirt. Wonderful. All right, well, that is the Gabagoolie Mystery Corner. And, God damn it. Why? Well, why do we continue to do the segment, Rob? Why?
I don't know. I just sent a message to yell at Kat about it, though.
I appreciate it.
Because notice this pops up on the week she's not here.
Yeah. When the documentary comes out on Netflix of the rise and fall of this show, Kat's going to be like, yeah, I don't know. I always question them. I wasn't there. I don't know.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you and I are going to be sitting there looking like a couple of assholes.
Yeah. Unbelievable, Rob. All right. So we are going to kick you guys over to the interview with Spencer now. Again, Ice Nine Kills, a work of art. Terrifier 3 is out right now. A work of art is out right now. Make sure you guys, it's theatrical, both too. Music video also being shown in theaters for a very limited time today only, I believe. There will be an extended cut that is going to be released 14 minutes long. There's a music video to this song as well. Get on YouTube and check it out right now. It is crazy. So enjoy that, guys, and we'll check out on the other side. God damn it. God damn it.
Yeah, you might actually be canceled for that one.
I feel like the Gabagoolie Mystery Corner has to be bleeped this week. Is Kat getting fined for this, Rob? Like, what are the repercussions? Kat got in trouble for a Gabagoolie Mystery Corner meme by Rob. In what dimension would you add? That is not on anyone's fucking bingo card. I can tell you that right now. Okay, Spencer, thank you so much for joining us, man. We are joined by Spencer Charnas of Ice Nine Kills. You guys have the upcoming single for Terrifier 3, a work of art. Going to be playing in AMC theaters, Marcus theaters on October 10th. That's today when people are hearing this. How's it going, man? We need to talk about this video.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I am so excited about what's happening. I'm always excited whenever we're about to release a new song or a music video, but this one has an added layer because it's the first time that we're officially a part of a franchise. You know, we've done so many different homages to our favorite films and favorite slasher stars and stuff like that, but this is the first time it's like this is official, and it feels so good. I've been such a huge fan of that movie franchise, especially since part two came out. I think I saw it in the theater like 4 or 5 times. And I'm just so grateful that Damien's letting us, you know, play in this amazing universe that he created, and just really honored.
How does something like this come together? Did you reach out to Damien and say, hey, we'd like to do a song? Did they reach out to you? How does that work out?
So I think we both sort of admired each other over the last few years. We definitely saw like what an ambassador I was for part two, you know, just constantly talking about it, constantly posting about it and telling our fans, if you don't know who Art the Clown is, you need to, right? And we invited him and David out to a show when we played in New York City, like I want to say a couple years ago. And we just hit it off, and we do a lot of the same horror conventions. And I think this like sort of mutual respect just started to really build between us and everyone from the franchise, all the way back to Catherine and Jenna and Leah and the new stars like Lauren and Elliot and obviously David, where we just see so many mutual fans, right? We'll be at these conventions, right, and there'll be Ice Nine Kills fans and Terrifier fans. It's like they go hand in hand, right? So I basically pitched the idea to Damien back in, I want to say December of this year, or of last year rather, and said, hey dude, like let us give us a shot at like making a Dream Warriors kind of for Terrifier, or you know, Man Behind the Mask, give us a shot. And he was just super gracious and grateful, and that we wanted to do it, right? And he's just, his whole team, Phil and everyone at Bloody Disgusting and Iconic, everyone's just been really cool. And I'm super excited about how it turned out. I can't wait for people to see it.
Well, you kind of touched on it already. I mean, you guys have done things like Hip to Be Scared, Farewell to Flesh, Jason's Mom, personal favorite, you know, where you're almost you make yourself a part of it, of that franchise in a way, because of the passion that goes into it and the details you guys make sure to nail as fans. But now you're in there and you're working with Damien. What was it like with, you know, just the whole Terrifier crew, not even anyone individually, David Howard Thornton, like you guys got to have him around and be Art the Clown. That must have been surreal.
It was absolutely crazy, man, especially because we had our fans on set, right? We needed extras. We needed people in the audience of this concert, this video concert, right? So one of the coolest things was we didn't tell anyone what this video had to do. So I got to come out in real time when all of our fans were, you know, lined up in front of the stage, and I got to make the announcement. Like, obviously they were excited anyway, but telling them that, you know, this is an official video for Terrifier 3, I just got chills even just saying it now and seeing our fans' reaction in real time, that they were going to be, you know, part of this movie in a sense. And then David, you know, in costume walks onto set. And as a fan of horror films, and as a fan of, you know, growing up and worshiping Jason and Michael and Freddy and Leatherface and all these stars of horror films, I could see how excited I would have been, you know, and I can see myself in these kids' eyes, you know, and sharing that, like, excitement and surprise. So that was one of the coolest things that I've ever gotten to do.
That's crazy. And you're listed as an editor for this, Spencer. So I don't know. How did that go as far as, cause you guys pretty much made a little mini movie here. Like, let's just call it what it is. The effects were incredible. Gore, everything. Like, you had character development throughout it pretty much, you know. How much input did you have there? What was that process like, getting that detailed?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And over the last couple of years, up into Hollywood, I've become very involved in the editing process. And listen, I can't take credit for everything. I have so many amazing collaborators. I always write the stuff with a dear friend of mine who I've known since literally elementary school, Andrew Justin Smith. We have an incredible director, Jen Sinoen, that you know, puts his touch on everything. And we got to also do a 7-minute extension, which no one has seen yet. That's not in the theater, but it's going to be when we release it online, where we got to work with Paul Soder, who I've been a huge fan of for years, you know, first becoming aware of him with the Broken Lizard stuff and Super Troopers and Club Dread, and, you know, makeup effects artist Chris Nelson, who I've become really good friends with. He's just such an amazing guy and an amazing artist. And so it kind of all came down to that, and working with great actors, and David's such an unbelievable force.
Oh my God.
He's just incredible. And so I just feel very lucky to be surrounded by, you know, all these people that, you know, sort of make me look good. But yeah, with editing, I'm super excited about sort of delving into that part of filmmaking, because I've been doing music for, you know, ever since I was a little kid, and I've always been a fan of films, but now I'm starting to be able to learn the technical side of the game. And yeah, it's very cool to see how much can be changed in the editing room, and how going to, you know, lingering on a frame just, you know, a split second longer can change the entire feel. So I'm very excited to continue to hopefully build that skill and become better.
And doing your own thing too, man. Like, that's the beauty of it. Like, you can, like, that it comes through so much where, like, you guys just don't give a fuck and you're going to do what you want to do, period. And you're getting in there and doing it yourself and putting your vision out there. how do you, I don't know quite how to ask the question, because you guys did some crazy shit in here. You know, like, this was a loud music video. What is it like being able to fully be you, and also the Terrifier guys letting you do that, trusting you to do that?
It's absolutely insane, man. You know, the thing that we deal with is kind of like the new MPAA is YouTube, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this time we just decided, fuck it. We're not going to do an edited version. We're not going to bow to that stuff. And it just felt good to let loose and not worry about, like, what can we show here? And, you know, maybe it'll hurt the views, right? Maybe we won't get as many views, but I think what we care about is doing the art, pun intended, justice, and thinking more about the long game and creating something that people who love Terrifier are going to remember and hopefully associate with the film forever. And just kind of go in the distance, because that's what Damien and this whole team do. You know, they're not afraid. They're fearless when it comes to doing what they want to do creatively. And I think that's so important. And I think so needed in this day and age, where I think people are kind of afraid to let loose a little bit, especially with violence. And I'm always of the frame of mind that, like, these movies, these horrible things that you see on the screen, they don't negatively impact society. And I see it firsthand by meeting all these people at conventions, and yeah, they're wearing a shirt with a, you know, a person torn open from head to toe, and they're the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned Dokken and Alice Cooper and stuff, and the songs that they did in the 80s for those films, because those artists are sort of forever associated with those. And it feels like it's been a long time since we've had a song like that and an artist that's going to be associated with something. And I think, I mean, listening to this song just the one time and watching the video, I think you guys have delivered something here that's going to mean that now Ice Nine Kills is associated with Terrifier for, you know, the long haul. So hopefully you're okay with that.
Man, to me, it's like the greatest compliment, you know, to be officially associated with a franchise that I think is so special, you know. And to me, it's a return to what I loved about the 80s, you know, about those films. And it's just I can't say it enough. It sounds trite and it sounds generic, but like, I'm just very honored and grateful for Damien for letting us do that. You know, this isn't some small horror movie. This is something that people hold really near and dear in terms of slasher movies. And the way he just kind of trusted me to not F it up, you know, so to speak. And everyone, as I said, like everyone involved was so cool. You know, we rightfully so, you know, Damien has to protect this thing that he created. So Phil, the producer, who's a wonderful guy, we flew him out to be on set to, you know, to make sure that we were doing things that we weren't wasting our time with, because he knows what Damien wants, right? And we had her out who did the Art the Clown makeup in Terrifier 3 to make sure that we got the makeup just right. And Olga, who did the Art the Clown costume, and working hand in hand with Chris Nelson, who's just an amazing special effects guy and pulled off some incredible stuff and some kills, you know, only in a 2-day shoot. You know, you would think that this video took like a week to shoot, but we crammed all this stuff into 2 days. And just
this looks like it took months to shoot. That's crazy. Like, you know, like it honestly, the amount of work that went into it, like, wow, that's crazy.
Thank you. It was a wild ride.
Was it hard to focus? Like, what I imagine it would be really hard to play music and just see Art the Clown hanging around in the back. And you were prepared for it. Like, I imagine some of the extras were shocked and, you know, distracted.
Oh, man. Like, yeah, for me, it was like, and I assume for everybody else on the set, like just a surreal environment. Right. And I know, like, especially some of the actors like Jose, who's just a fantastic guy and a great radio DJ for Sirius XM. He was unbelievable in the video. He's playing himself and he was so natural on camera. And I know what a huge fan of Art and Terrifier was. So he told me like it was like the greatest day of his life. To be killed by Art the Clown was like a real moment for him. And Richard Christie from Sirius XM and Vinny, who also is like a, you know, program director for Sirius, all of them are huge fans. And so to put people who love something in a video, I think, or a movie or film or whatever, I think is something unusual. You know, oftentimes actors in films, they're not necessarily horror fans, right? They're, you know, they're looking for the next job and they might be a great actor, but I think it's more likely than not, with how competitive the entertainment industry is, like, you know, people take a job whether they like the genre or not, right? Mm-hmm. It's a paycheck. And so to be able to be on a film set, and that goes for extras too, right? I've heard stories about these films where I spoke with someone, I'm like, oh my God, you were an extra on that. What was that like? I mean, that's like one of my, they're like, I was awful. I don't want to do this. So we're in a scenario where everyone wants to be there, right? No one is clocking in and being like, okay, well, what time does this end? And that goes for everyone, from the extras to the stars to, you know, the person in charge of catering. Everyone wanted to be there. And I think even David mentioned to me like that, like how cool that is, that people were just pumped. And we always, as a band, feed off the energy of the crowd, right? And that really goes for a film set too. You know, if no one wants to be there, it's a miserable environment. And listen, I mean, even if it's a fun set, making movies and making videos is really exhausting. And you got to do things 100 times and it can be tiring. But if you want to be there like everyone did, it just made it a really enjoyable experience.
Yeah, I think no matter how happy I was to be there as an extra, I will say this, Art is the one horror villain who really terrifies the crap out of me. So as soon as he showed up, I think I would have hightailed towards the door.
He is so scary.
I don't know what it is. It's also the way David portrays him, right? The mannerisms and stuff. It really does freak me out.
He really is an incredible actor. And I've seen him and got to know him over the last couple of years. And he does amazing voices. You know, he does character voices, and he's like a Jim Carrey kind of. But to take away, you know, an actor's main ammunition usually, which is your voice. And to see what someone can do with just the way you put your fingers, you know, or just the way you open your eyes. He's just incredibly gifted, and he was born to play this part. And it's just been a lot of fun to watch him and to see him at conventions. You know, we just had him at Silver Screen Con. We had so many people from Terrifier at the con, Damien and Lauren and Elliot. And David and just seeing their lines, you know, this is like insane. And Damien told me that David told me that this was his most successful convention, you know, and that guy's doing so many conventions. And just to see people lining up for hours to meet these people, it's just, it was very cool to see. And I'm always excited for people who are not only talented, but are good people. And all these people are just, I can't sing their praises enough.
Yeah, David was just at a convention that was here in town like last month, and there was not a moment where there wasn't a long line at his table.
Yes.
I mean, people love Art, and Art is crossing over into the mainstream. And I know this because my boss just last week came to me and said, "Hey, I know you like horror movies. Should I watch the ones with that creepy clown guy?" And, you know, it's like, yeah, I always have to give the disclaimer about recommending Terrifier to people, especially my boss. But, you know,
yeah.
it might be worth checking out. But I that's how I can kind of gauge. All right. People are starting to ask me about him. He's starting to really catch fire mainstream, too.
I love seeing that stuff. I'm sort of like a little oblivious to it when horror hits the mainstream, just because I live it every day. And I was talking about this on an interview recently. It's like the first time that I noticed that horror was in the mainstream again was when Scream came out. Like, I was a little kid, obviously 11, but that was the first time I heard like anyone who wasn't wearing a heavy metal t-shirt or dressed in black talking about a horror film. So it's cool to see over the last almost 30 years how it's just grown. It's grown and grown and grown. And it's great to see it get the legitimacy it deserves.
You know, Spencer, I'm so glad you brought up Scream. My notes are all over the place, and I did mean to ask you this because I do know you're a big Scream fan. I have this question and one more for you, but this one's kind of important just amongst us. What are your thoughts as a big Scream fan as you are of Scream 4?
Really?
I really like Scream 4. I remember when it came out, I turned to my friend and I was like, this is really good. And I think it was during the part where the girl gets like disemboweled, like super brutal kill in her bedroom. And funny, just a little offshoot of that, I have the lamp that's in that room that's covered in blood.
Oh my God.
My friend Nate, who's like a Scream aficionado, gave it to me. And I really like it. I think it was underrated. I was really disappointed that it didn't perform at the box office in some talking parrot cartoon and beat it or something. I'm always a guy that's like, that wants these films to do well. And I really liked it. I thought the opening was so clever. It was sort of like my favorite opening since the original. Just that, like, you know, they keep pulling out to reveal that it's a movie and a movie and a movie. And I think that Emma Roberts is incredible in that reveal. I thought it was like one of my favorite reveals since Billy and Stu, and how she just like bite clubs herself. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see that over the years it's I think gained more of an audience and has emerged as a fan favorite, I think. You know, other than
I'm so happy to hear you say that. So happy. It's a battle we have amongst the show. I hear a lot of crap about Scream 4 and I stand by it.
This is really the forum you've chosen to air out show laundry right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, It's unfortunate when it doesn't go my way, but Spencer's on my side, so I'm good with it now.
I got you, man. And I'll tell you, whenever we go to Ann Arbor, you know, we go and seek out some of those filming locations, and that's always fun, man.
Yeah. What's the coolest location you've been to?
Oh, man. I mean, when I was a little kid, I remember the craziest thing was, you know, being in LA and driving, you know, on, I guess it's the Sunset Strip. It's off Sunset. You take that left, you know, you'd be at the Whiskey, right? And then in 10 minutes, you're in Haddonfield, right? You're on that street. Nice. With the Strode House and the Wallace House. And so that was like that must have been the first horror filming location that I ever saw. I think the craziest experience in terms of filming locations is when we were lucky enough to be involved to bring back to my friend Nate and his business partner, Anthony Massey. We got to do an event at Stu's house. From Scream.
Nice.
We got to be a part of something that was called Scream Comes Home. And I think that was the first fan event at that house. I think since then there have been several, but this was the first one. I think it was the first time it was sort of open to a private event for Scream fans. And I just remember walking that house, and I've been to so many locations. But this one felt like you were in the movie. The house was laid out exactly as you picture it. You know, it didn't seem like anything was really quote unquote Hollywooded, you know, how they change a different corner to make it look like this. It felt like you were in the movie, and we got to play in the garage. You know, we did like an acoustic set in the garage where we played Bird Brain, you know, Youth of America. And it was just like, it was an amazing experience. And just looking at like little details, like I was in the garage and I pulled out the scene, and just like little details that I don't know if anyone else would give a shit about, but like there's a yellow sticker that's on the garage door. That's like the garage company repairs or whatever. And that sticker's still there. So it's just like, for someone who's such a big fan of that stuff, that was probably the craziest one ever. And we became really good friends with the property manager. So I remember like 6 months later, we had an off day in San Francisco, and they were like, yeah, come and hang out at the house. So we got to just hang out at the house again. Just wild.
No, they just invited you over. That's nice.
It was awesome. And they cooked us dinner, and it was special, man. I've gotten to do a lot of cool things that are total bucket list moments for me.
Yeah. As a fan. You know, that's what makes it all special. But speaking of being a fan of something, I know you're a fan of the Friday the 13th game. And
yes, I am.
I was too. Greatest game ever made. I stand by it. But I don't know. You guys have toured with Slipknot, and I don't know how much of Dead by Daylight you're aware of. But, you know, they just did a collaboration with them. And, you know, that game is so entrenched in the horror world, you know, and I was wondering if maybe they've ever reached out to you, because they've been collaborating with a lot of different artists. And is that something you'd be interested in even doing?
Absolutely, man. That's one game that I hear about so much constantly.
Yeah.
And I would be totally, totally down to collaborate with them. So anyone's listening from the franchise, or from the video game, rather, give me a call. Let's do it.
We have an interview with them next week. We can let them know.
Do we tell them? Let's do it. Credit.
You get 20% or something. Right? Don't quote me.
Just get us some DLCs.
Yeah, but like that's something like Terrifier. We always hear that. We always hear that brought up.
Yeah.
And I think
you guys
would
be perfect. Absolutely perfect.
The fans would go wild.
Oh man, it'd be so dope. But Spencer, man, thank you so much for your time today. You guys have, what are you not doing? By the time this drops out, you would have been already at Monster Mania Con. You guys are getting ready to go to Australia for tour dates. What do you got going on? Let everybody know where they can find everything, where they can find you and all that stuff.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram, Ice9Kills with the 9 spelled out, ice9kills.com. Like you said, we'll be in Australia in November. It's only our second time ever being there.
super excited about that, going out with this band, Amity Affliction. Great band. And then 2025, we got more stadium dates with Metallica. And this time out with us and Metallica will be Limp Bizkit. So it's just like, holy shit. You know, like all of these things that we're doing now, like if you told 11-year-old me that we'd be involved with these movies that we love, with these actors that we love, with these bands that we love, I would have said, I hope so. And yeah, it's surreal. It's surreal. Sometimes I'm like, is this really happening? Are you serious?
Like, our Australian friend Tim Davis has tickets to see you when you guys are over there, and he's super excited. He wanted me to tell you that. What's it like when you're out with Metallica? Has the novelty worn off? Because you guys have done this a lot now. Are you just like, it's just like a normal day now?
It never wears out, man. And those guys are so nice. They're so cool. They've treated us with nothing but respect and admiration. This past weekend was particularly poignant because Five Finger Death Punch, unfortunately, didn't get to play. It's usually us, Five Finger, and then Metallica. And Ivan, he broke his ribs at another show, and sending lots of love, Ivan. They're a great band. But because they didn't play, Metallica had us play an hour right before them. And usually, you know, when we play, it's in the daytime, kind of, it's still light out. Mm-hmm. And this was in the dark, and you know, we're a band not made for the daytime, you know? So it was because we were playing closer to when they played, the stadium was packed in Mexico City, and we probably played to like 50 to 60,000 people in the stadium right before one of the greatest bands of all time hits the stage. And it was just, you know, a moment I'll never forget. And I can't thank those guys enough for giving us that opportunity. There's so many bands out there. There's so many great bands that are probably better than us. And for whatever reason, we got really lucky and they seem to like us. So it was incredible. And I can't believe we're going out with them again.
Nice. Well, Spencer, we appreciate your time, man. Thank you very much. Everything you do for the genre, like, you guys bust your ass and your passion, you can feel it.
Thank you. We appreciate your time today, bro.
Yeah,
thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure to speak with you guys.
Oh, fuck me sideways. All right. Spencer Charnas. That was a dope interview. Man, we talked about it after the interview, Rob. And we're going to talk a little bit about Ice Nine Kills just in general here in a minute. Man, the time with him really flew by, and it's weird because sometimes time will feel like we're running out of shit when we're doing these things, and like, how are we going to fill time for the life of us? But then stuff like this where it's like, you said afterwards, we could have sat and talked to him for like 3 hours.
Oh, easily. I had a bunch of questions written down and ready to go just in case, you know, we needed to fill time or whatever. And I think out of like the 10 questions I'd written down, we got through two of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, we easily could have sat and talked to that guy for a few hours. Yeah, he was a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially when you could talk about like movies and film and music. Like,
yeah,
he can talk about so much.
Although I do want to say that my favorite part of the interview is when I asked about them opening for Metallica. And he started talking about it. And then Kat sent a message in our group to let you know that Metallica's a band.
Yeah, that was annoying.
That was my favorite part of the entire thing.
I hate how whenever, like, even just when we're just hanging out in Discord or something, if someone mentions a band, Rob's like, by the way, Mike, that's a band. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I know.
Hey, sometimes you don't know.
It's rare that I don't know it's a band. I might not know. It's very frequent I don't know anything about the band you're talking about, but I know they're a band.
All right. Well, I'm just trying to help you out.
Yeah. Goddamn. All right. Ice Nine Kills. I am, everybody should know by now, I'm the rap guy here. So grew up. Just rap my entire life, was just so engulfed with it. I love it so much. So rock bands and everything else, like I was just kind of breaking down, I'm more aware of, but don't really follow because in depth, because it's just not my genre of music. But the more I listen to Ice Nine Kills, man. The more I love it, especially work of art. I got on this bandwagon late, and it was a couple of years ago when Jason's Mom came out and blew up, and that's more of a cover, so it's not really like original Ice Nine Kills music, but that's what made me aware of them. That's what made me jump down the rabbit hole. Chris, you have been an Ice Nine Kills fan for a long time.
Not as long as many, but I definitely got on fully around when the Silver Scream came out, and I definitely started devouring their whole backlog. Like, I love even some of the, like, the weirder stuff, weirder, like, pulls that they pull from, like, the horror genre or make horror, like the Nature of the Beast is, like, based off, like, Animal Farm. They just have so many varied pieces of subject matter that they can turn into just fun music.
Have you guys seen them live, either one of you?
No, I really wish I had. They were just here in Texas, like, last year sometime, but I don't know when they're going to be back.
Yeah, their live show looks great, like, because as theatrical as their music is, it looks like they really put on a great stage show.
I really wanted to go after lockdown started getting lifted, went with the Trinity of Terror tour, which was Ice Nine, Black Veil Brides, and I want to say Motionless in White. But yeah, like, I've seen some of the videos from, like, their live shows, like them doing Rocking the Boat, and they have just some dude come out, like, in one of those inflatable shark costumes, like, and the crowd starts yelling "fuck that shark" at him. Like, it just looks like a lot of fun.
They were gonna fuck a shark.
I mean, if that's the way you want to take that statement, that's you.
Oh, okay. I don't know. This is what it sounds like. I don't know.
I think it's like "fuck that shark." Like, you know, we don't want that shark here. I think okay, that was
fair enough. I'm just making sure everybody's all right with sharks. Aggie, how did you get into Ice Nine Kills?
So about the same time as Chris, when the Silver Scream came out in 2018. I'm a big listener of Octane, which, you know, is like the biggest rock radio station on Sirius XM. And they started playing that album. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I really like this band. I've never heard of them before. So I did some research. I listened to their other music on that album. And I just really, really, really enjoyed all the lyrics and the storylines with every song on that album. And that's when I really, truly became a Ice Nine Kills fan.
Hell of a deal. Their appeal to me, and this coming from somebody who isn't particularly into the rock genre, but can still listen to their music, and what draws me and brings that connection, which is, I think, why they're so special in even the music world, but they've leaked into the horror world we just did an episode of Killer Beats for Patreon, patreon.com/slasherradio. We had an episode where we just brought Ice Nine Kills songs and we were watching the videos too. And the visual they give to go along with the music is it's so next level. And I'm sure, you know, there's a million great music videos out there, but the stories they tell, the homage that they pay to these horror films and franchises is bar none. The quality just from top to bottom to accompany the music. That's before you even get to the music. If you're just looking at the video itself, is like a small little horror movie or tribute to a horror movie on such a high level. And that's what breaks them apart from things like Metallica and all these other great bands, that they're able to really tell crazy stories like that visually.
The videos that I saw of theirs were, I mean, and Aggie said this on the Patreon show and stuff too. They're like little mini movies.
Right.
So yeah, they're fun to watch.
Videos like The American Nightmare pays great tribute to, like, pretty much several of the Nightmare on Elm Street films. Stabbing in the Dark's great for, you know, the Halloween series. And even some of their newest ones, like a Funeral Derangements, is just basically, it's a weird thing to think of, but it's the best Pet Sematary music video I can think of.
If any of the listeners haven't gone and watched any of their music videos, I highly recommend it, because the theatrics are incredible. The graphics in it are incredible. They pay a lot of tribute to all the different movies that each song is in reference to, not just the Silver Scream, which was the 2018 album, but the second one, I think that came out in 2021. It's all incredible, because it's like mini movies, every single one of them. And they each have a storyline. So you have to kind of like watch each music video in order to kind of understand the full storyline, with it tying into each horror movie that the song references. And I just think they're incredible. Like, they spend so much time and effort into their music videos, not just their songs. And that's why I really, really, really just love this band, because you can tell they really love their music and they put so much effort into the art that they create.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we were talking about it during Killer Beats a little bit. Hip to Be Scared, the American Psycho song. And dude, that video, you can listen to the lyrics, and from top to bottom, the production, music and video is such a, like, they nailed it so well with that film. And man, it's crazy watching it and listening to the things they're saying and the callbacks to the film in the music and the lyrics. And then you're able to sit and watch the video, which they got so, that was visually so close to the scenes that they were portraying from the film, where it's crazy, man, like the amount of detail, attention to detail that they had in there to do this. And that can only come from fans. Like, that's what I think my favorite part about them is, it's not manufactured whatsoever. It's truly, and you can tell, and it bleeds through, fans making tributes to these movies. Because if it was a production to kind of, like, you know, get into the horror genre, and horror movies are popular, and let's make music about it and videos, and horror fans lead it up, you wouldn't see the small things that every song and video they've made has in there. Those little things that only true fans would know. And it's not even like one or two references. Like, it's the whole thing, the whole project.
Did you see the follow up for the Hip to Be Scared, the Walking on Sunshine with Real Big Fish?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's a cover song, but it's another music video done in the same vein as American Psycho. I think it's for their comic book that's coming out or just came out.
An Ice Nine Kills comic book?
Yep.
Nice. Nice. And that's another thing too, man. Like, they're really starting to spill into every aspect. Like, now they're like Spencer was saying in the interview, they are officially in. Like, they spent all this time showing tribute to all these movies. They are now part of an iconic horror film or franchise. And now they're getting into comic books, which is a big part of the horror community as well. We talked to them a little bit about Dead by Daylight. It would be so fucking dope to see them in there and get them into video games too, for that little subsection of the community to enjoy. And that's, I feel like we're watching something great happen right in front of us. And it's just in the early stages to where we're starting to be able to tell. And it's really cool. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, you would know better than me. I haven't seen this happen, like this type of crossover with music and movies happen like this.
It's happened on a much smaller scale in the past, but I don't think I've ever seen it quite like this. I mean, to go back to what you were talking about, Mikey, and the fact that these guys, they're really fans of these movies and they get the details and stuff right. I think I really dismissed Ice Nine Kills out of hand when I first heard about them, because I thought, they're just, you know, it's a gimmick, you know, and I, you know, I don't have time for that. But actually diving into their music and preparing really for this interview was the first time I'd really... I know, like, Chris, I think you'd submitted one or two of their songs for Killer Beats or something.
Yep.
But I hadn't really sat down and really paid much attention to them until preparing for this interview and realized, no, this isn't a gimmick. These guys are fans and they're doing really quality stuff. It's not the kind of music that I would sit down and listen to normally. There are times when I'm in the mood for this kind of music, though, and it seems like it would be a perfect fit for that. So, yeah, I mean, I 100% agree. As far as is music and crossing into horror movies, I mean, we've seen it on a much smaller scale. You know, I mean, just things like Dokken doing the Dream Warrior song, or Alice Cooper doing the song for Friday the 13th. I think it's part six, right? Man Behind the Mask.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've seen it, but I don't think we've ever seen it to this level.
Right. And they, like you said, they've done songs for a movie.
Right.
These guys, like, this is what they do, man. And it's not even only what they do. Like, they have their own stuff that is just their music, and it has nothing to, you know, well, you know, horror is always part of them, but it's not like a tribute, like Hip to Be Scared or the American Nightmare. It's not those things as just their own music. And it's musicians that also do this with horror movies regularly. Like, they have entire albums dedicated to it. Now they're leaking into the films themselves. And, you know, just kind of the genre itself.
Going back to you, like, saying, like, wanting to see them in video games. I mean, they have a character in the Silver Scream 2 that would be a perfect fit for Dead by Daylight. The Silence character, which is the one with, like, the, just like the blank mask with the Ice Nine logo on it. Putting him in Dead by Daylight as a killer, or even as like a skin for like Legion, would probably be great. I like the Payday franchise, which is like robbing banks, but like, you know, just the idea of like doing a crossover where I can get that mask as for like my bank robber would be amazing.
Right. Yeah. And it's perfect, man. Like, it truly is. We haven't really talked about it, because usually when we do the stuff with Behavior for Dead by Daylight, that kind of comes out as an extra episode on this feed. And it, you know, for the most part, it lives on YouTube. But yeah, we're going to have another interview with Behavior that's coming out next week or this week. Calendar.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to make that interview, by the way. You always schedule them when I can't be there.
Can't help it. Yeah, that's coming out this week. So that'll be out on YouTube and on this feed tomorrow. I am going to be busy.
You're going to be super busy. That's what you get for keeping the greatest Dead by Daylight player you've ever seen away from talking to Behavior.
Hey. Yeah, so we're definitely going to be following up with Behavior on that. God damn, it hit me like a ton of bricks how busy I'm going to fucking be this week. Holy shit. Yeah, Lord.
I mean, welcome to October, right? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of knew. But usually it's like the end of October. And this is the second week of October, and I'm not going to be able to do shit for myself now. But anyways, it's okay. Yeah, so we're going to be following up with Behavior on that, because they did have their Metallica and their Slipknot things that they did. And, dude, Einstein Kills is perfect. And it's more of a now generational type of thing. Like, this is Metallica and Slipknot have been around for years and years, and it's kind of an older generation thing. You know, Einstein Kills is perfect for that. Aggie, you're a DVD player. Like, how fucking dope would that be? Iron Maiden, they did. Iron Maiden. And Slipknot.
Iron Maiden made me so happy. I had to buy that t-shirt for Kate because I was like, oh my God, I love Iron Maiden. This brings me back to my childhood because, like, I grew up on that kind of music. But oh my God, I would love that. If Ice Nine Kills came to DVD, oh my gosh, I'd probably buy every skin for every character. Like, just take my money. Let's take it.
Right. But that's like you were talking about. Imagine if back when we were like when Slipknot and Iron Maiden were in their prime, when we were that age and shit like that came out in a video game or so, like, we lose our fucking minds.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So kids now that are playing Dead by Daylight in that age range of, you know, their prime of music and everything, like, you know, that sweet spot that we always remember. And back in our day, music was good and all that shit. That's the stage they're in now, where they're just now starting to consume this music that they're probably going to love forever. Ice Nine Kills is going to be in that. And, you know, kind of catch it while the iron's hot would be perfect.
Oh, 100%. Because they're on fire right now. The younger generation definitely loves this band and this music. So it would take off in that game.
Like, the closest I can think of would probably have been back, like, with the Twisted Metal series when they used to license, like, the Rob Zombie music for it, but it wasn't quite the same. It wasn't like you were driving around in the Rob Zombie skin Dragula or anything like that, but, like, getting, like, right. some Ice Nine, like, an Ice Nine kill skin, like I said, like, the Silence.
Legion for, like, skin a killer, would be perfect. Yeah.
Like, a killer skin, like, just silent dude running around with a knife would be great. I mean, you could even put, like, Spencer in a whatever his wife's name is. I want to say Nadia, but I'm probably wrong on that. Like, you know, as like a survivor skin or something would be great.
Dude, there's so many things.
Getting some of like the side characters from like their end videos, like the therapist from Silver Scream 1 or like Dead Meat James for like a survivor skin.
Right.
You know, would be, you know, just fun nods like for the fans to have like in Dead by Daylight. I mean, it would be the perfect medium because it wouldn't change the game, but it would just add that little bit of, you know, fandom to it that would give it, you know, makes, you know, like Aggie said, she'd probably buy all the skins, you know, day one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even just t-shirts for survivors like they did with Iron Maiden. I'd buy the shit out of that.
I think it'd be really cool, though, if they made some Survivor skins that were kind of based on some of Spencer's characters in his music videos, where he's the actual killer, but it's the Survivor skin. Yeah. I think that would be pretty dope. But
Spencer's Freddy Krueger for a Freddy Krueger skin.
Yeah. or Spencer is Jason as, you know, a Survivor skin for like Jeff or somebody. I don't know.
It would be crazy, man. It would be so much fun. And the possibilities are endless, and Behavior is super creative, and they really collaborate in the truest form of the word with their IP holders and the licenses that they get. So, you know, to see what they would be able to come up with together and what DBD can put out for in the game, dude, I'm there all the way for it. I'm going to be full on trying to broker the deal of Ice Nine Kills into Dead by Daylight. Personally, I want this to happen. But nonetheless, Ice Nine Kills in general, like I said, dude, there's so many of the old guard, like Metallica, who they are touring with. And we talked about Slipknot, Iron Maiden, and all these other bands that have been iconic for so long. I feel like Ice Nine Kills is in that birth, like that, those early stages of that. And we're witnessing it, which is crazy because, Rob, I don't know how early you followed like the iconic bands, but like when I was growing up, they were in the stage Ice Nine Kills is in now, where they're really starting to cement and be like, holy shit, these guys are for real. So like, this is the first time I've witnessed it in the early stages. You know what I mean?
No, I feel like this is about the stage where you start to become aware of bands when they start to break open. It seems like every band that breaks open that you become aware of has like two or three albums they'd put out previously. You're seeing less and less of that these days. Record companies don't want to give bands a chance to grow. So if your first album doesn't work out of the gate, a lot of times they just throw you away. But yeah, I mean, you know, back in the day, like I would start, like when I started listening to Metallica, I think it was And Justice for All had just come out. They had like three albums prior to that, you know? And yeah, it seems to be about the stage.
Yeah. And it is kind of in reverse now, isn't it? Because now in like the TikTok and social media era where a lot of music is found nowadays, that's kind of what it is in reverse, because you'll get a big song or, you know, like, and then an album will do well because a song went viral and then you never hear from them again, as opposed to those early kicking the mud off the tire stages.
That happens all the time. We get sent stuff from record companies at work all the time. And one of the first things I do is, where did this person come from? And almost without fail, if it came from TikTok, that is the only song we will ever get from that person. And they're going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing that lasts anymore, man.
Yeah.
Especially with like American made bands. Like you don't see people like putting in the time and grinding and putting in the work to develop their band. Whereas at least with like the European ones, like with like Lordi and whatnot, like they put in the work and then they, you know, finally go on like the festivals and then they get on like Eurovision and maybe they blow up then at that point. But you don't see a lot of like homegrown bands getting big anymore. They're definitely a lot more manufactured. Well, but like Ice Nine, like especially now with like the Terrifier tie-in, like they're starting to get some bigger spotlight. Like if they were going to try to branch out or at least, you know, consider other licenses like video games and whatnot, like now would be the time as they're starting to get bigger.
And I'll say this too, man, piggybacking off of what Chris said, if you look at the YouTube for Ice, it's just at Ice Nine Kills on YouTube. If you look at their YouTube, they have a video from 12 years ago, and it's a video of their studio back then in 2012. It is crazy to see, dude. They were literally recording in closets on laptops.
Yeah.
Old shitty laptops at that, you know, and to see that's still there and you can still go and physically watch where they came from and the grind that they went through, man, for so long. That doesn't happen that much anymore.
You could see the evolution, like even as like some of the older bandmates left while new ones came in to, you know, to fill in the blanks. But I mean, they've been putting in the work and the hustle. I mean, and they're finally, you know, I would honestly say like now, especially with like the movie tie-ins and whatnot, like they're starting to get the recognition that they've been striving for.
that they deserve.
Those lean times, all that tough, those tough early years, I think bands need, you know, bands need to go out. They need to play every night in front of four people and figure out who they are as a band. And that's usually why these bands that break after three or four albums, it's because they finally stopped sounding like their influences and started sounding like themselves.
Right.
And I think you'll see that with Ice Nine Kills. I mean, they've got albums that came out before the ones that we've been talking about. I don't know what they sound like. I didn't spend much time listening to those. But my guess is they're probably were working through that process of finding out who they were as a band. And now all that hard work and that struggle is paying off. It's unfortunate that we don't see much of that anymore just because record companies don't give bands that chance, and or they blow up on TikTok or whatever and they try to bypass all of that and then they fade away almost immediately.
Like a lot of their early EPs kind of had like a more of a punk rock feel, and then they started evolving to the rock and metal scene, into like more like the metalcore that they're kind of more associated with now.
Right.
But I mean you can easily go back and watch or look at their early stuff. The Quickest Way to a Girl's Heart's Through Her Rib Cage is a really good song. They just have such a great backlog.
Right. Aggie, you were telling me way before we started recording, I forgot when they were named Ice Nine, and you know, all the, what do you think about that transformation that they made and finding their sound and like what they are now compared to what they were? Which do you prefer, and what was that change in their music like, do you think?
Well, I mean, they went through a lot of transitions as a band in general, because they lost, you know, all of their original band members besides Spencer. So he was the only OG. This is basically his baby, his project. But just the transition has been incredible from, like, you know, to what Chris had said, they're kind of a punk rock band, which I've heard some of their old stuff and I like it. It's good, but to me, it doesn't put off like the same, like real true effort into the art of the song and the music as they do now, with what they've created. And kind of going back to what y'all had said before, with some of their songs and getting collabs with other people, you know, Hip to Be Scared, they've got Jacoby Shaddix on there, which if y'all don't know him, he's the lead singer of Papa Roach. Everybody, I feel like, knows who Papa Roach is, right? Like, they really stepped their game up with that song. I feel like they became even bigger. Like, some of my coworkers I work with who'd never heard of Ice Nine Kills before were like, oh my God, what is this band? Are they new? I love this song. This is so great. And it was because of that collab with that artist that really just put them over the edge even more than what, you know, us rock fans had known them for prior. So just seeing the growth of what they've created with their band has just been totally incredible. Even in just what the 6 years I've been really following them and loving their music, it's been so amazing. Like, they've gone from playing, you know, maybe one to two songs on the radio to like almost every song on all their albums all the time, because everybody loves them. And, you know, me is not the biggest like horror movie fan, just because I haven't seen a lot of horror movies. I don't watch a lot of horror movies. My love for music.
Change that, by the way, that will be changed and corrected.
I know. I need to rewatch some stuff, you know, get back into the genre and give it true love. But for me, like, my love really is through the music. Like, I've always been a huge music fan, and I just love their music, because they've really just put so much time and effort into the art of what they've created. And people like me, who really weren't into the horror genre, love this band and just love what they've created, and now have gone back and like, oh, I should watch this movie and see like how well this collabs with the actual movie itself. It's just beautiful. It's been a beautiful transition to watch them just truly grow.
And I have a list of the top 100 horror movies of all time that you can use as a guide, Aggie, as you're getting into the genre.
Aggie, that list is bullshit. It's horrible. It's terrible. It's an abomination is what it is. He's talking about his top 100 horror movies of all time.
All the best movies are on it, Aggie.
No, it's a terrible list. There's some of the best movies are on there. This, you know, we're not going to get into that list.
If y'all didn't know, Spencer Karnes was actually in a movie called The Retaliation, or The Retaliators, or what was it? I don't know. He was like the lead guy. So if y'all hadn't seen that, maybe we should watch that, because it's got a bunch of different artists from other bands that are in it. Like Jacoby Shaddix is in it. Ivan Moody is in it. A lot of his band members from Five Finger Death Punch are in it. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of interested in this. Some of my favorite artists are in this movie, so I might have to watch it now.
Interesting. I never heard of it.
No. And a little bit, just to, like, I don't know how much you guys more have to say, but my last note is also the attention that they're getting, Terrifier 3, you know, all that stuff, and how much love they're getting right now and how it's starting to boom for them for real right now with all this. This doesn't happen without it being real and without it being genuine and without them putting that effort in to show the love, like the amount of passion they have for these movies that they're paying tribute to with these songs and these videos. If it comes off as, you know, half-assed, lazy in any way, or just kind of, you know, like just not with the love that they are showing for these things, this shit doesn't happen. You know, so that's why a lot of that gimmick stuff, kind of like you were mentioning a little earlier, Rob, that's when they fall. They go, they do their thing. Some of it's catchy, it's good, and then it falls off because that's as far as it's ever going to go. These guys are going above and beyond, and that's why they're reaping these benefits.
Right. And it's also a function of being prepared and ready and able to take advantage of these opportunities that are presented, right? They get an opportunity to do a song for Terrifier 3 and they deliver a banger of a song with a great video, right? They get an opportunity to open up for Metallica. They're playing sold out stadiums in front of a crowd that's there to see Metallica. And if they're bringing it live, which I assume that they are, they're going to convert a lot of those fans into people who like their music too. And that's really what it's about. It's about not only getting these opportunities, but being able to capitalize on them and make them count. And they seem to be doing that right now.
Yeah. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to mention, Aggie, Chris, Robert?
My thing would just basically recommend, like, at a minimum, like, if you wanted to give them a real shot, like, look up, or there might even just be like a supercut video of the Silver Scream 1 and 2, and watch it through and just kind of get their like little mini movie. The Silver Scream 2 does have some edited videos because YouTube got a little squeamish with it. You really get a feel that they are fans of the genre, that this is what they love. I mean, I've seen several bands that, you know, they'll have a gimmick, or they'll, you know, or they'll be like a fan of something. Like there's a local band by me that was called Oakley Dokley, that they were just a Ned Flanders band, metal band from The Simpsons. They really only made it like 2, maybe 3 albums, and then they're kind of done.
Right.
Like you said, like their YouTube channel goes back 12 years. I mean, these guys have been around for a while. I don't see them disappearing anytime soon. In fact, I'm anticipating and hoping to really hear them go even further with the Silver Scream 3, which whatever they're going to call it, I'm assuming they're going to do the 3D gimmick type thing. And really curious to see what themes of movies they go with on the next one.
Yeah, man. All right. So, this is the first time, our intros have changed, but I think the proper thing to do would be to end this episode with the outro music being a work of art from I Sign Kills, because it's such a banger. So I think that's what I'm going to do for the end of this episode. And I think it's very appropriate. And the song's a banger. So we just, Aggie, what did you were starting to say something. What did you have to say?
I mean, honestly, what Chris said, if any of the listeners have never, I have no doubt in my mind that most of them have heard of Ice Nine Kills if they haven't listened to their music. But to get into them, really just watch those music videos, because they are incredible. I mean, they're free on YouTube, and they put so much time and effort into the production of these. They really are almost better than some of the movies themselves. I mean, they're all incredible. I love them so much, and it's really made me appreciate the horror genre as books, movies, songs, whatever it may be. Just watch them, all of them. They're all so great.
They are. Yeah. And also, like me, coming from someone who's not particularly, didn't grow up, not, you know, a traditional fan of this, of the rock genre, dude, I get to watch the fuck out of these and appreciate them for like just pure art that they are, like, because they truly are at that level. So they're for everybody who loves the horror genre and everybody who loves music and metal music in general. Like it has something for everybody in those categories, 1,000,000%. Tomorrow we will have Matthew Cote returning to the show to talk Dead by Daylight, Haunted by Daylight event, 2v8, all kinds of stuff is going to be brought up. So make sure you are following us on YouTube if you want to check that video out. It is at /radio. We're also at /radio on TikTok, Twitter. So that's another thing. All this with Spencer and Ice Nine Kills, this happened pretty quick. We didn't know a lot of different things, embargo dates, scheduling this thing. It was just, you know, it all happened very fast. You found out first on Twitter. So make sure you're following us on Twitter for that. I'm at Mikey's Dead on Twitter. You can check me out there if you would like as well. Patreon.com/radio as well. Tiers starting as low as $3 a month. So make sure you go support the show. And that's really it for me. Rob, what about you? Where are they finding you?
Well, first of all, you better actually ask Matthew Cote about 2v8. I'm going to be mad if you don't ask him about that. Yeah. Well, I don't know, because last time I gave you the idea to ask about water balloons and you didn't do it.
Yeah, we ran out of time. That was a little hectic.
Yeah.
But 2v8, we do have an announcement for that, Rob, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 2v8 return. Aggie, do you remember off the top of your head?
October 17th?
Oh. No, that's Haunted by Daylight. Oh. November 12th is the return for 2v8, Rob.
Oh, I can't wait. Because that was the last time I had a good time. I couldn't even go back to the regular 4v1 after playing 2v8.
So much fun. And they
so fun.
They added more maps to Rob, and they also added 3 new killers that are going to be available with Nurse, Wraith, Trapper, and Huntress. So now with those 4 killers still in the mix, they're adding Blight, Spirit, and Deathslinger.
All right.
Yeah, and I think 3 to 4 new maps. I don't remember, but that was the thing with 2v8. As it was a blast, but the same map over and over, the same killers over and over, got a little... After playing it for an extended period of time, you did see the same shit. So yeah. Now we're going to get a wider range, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at RadioRob123. You can listen to the other show that I do with Kat, who is not here tonight. The Nick fucking Woo Cage Cast, that is Nick F and Woo Cage Cast in your podcast players, because they won't let us say fucking in the title of our show. It's a show all about Nicolas Cage, and we will be releasing our episode on Season of the Witch soon.
Yeah, wait a minute, hold on. It's funny that Apple tells you not to say something and you listen, but I have to just keep bleeping butt nugget stuff every week.
Because Apple won't bleep me. Apple will just not let me be there.
Oh. So that's the trick, huh?
Yeah,
all right, keep that in mind. The only way to get you to not do it is not let you there, is what you're saying. All right. Also follow Kat too, Kat_Velour, V-O-L-E-U-R on Twitter, katvelour.com. She has a bunch of horror books, bunch of shit the Kat is doing. So make sure you go support her as well. Chris, Agatha, we appreciate you guys hopping on and your wealth of knowledge on Ice Nine Kills. Like, thank you for being a part of this and helping us out and all that good stuff.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Christopher, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me as IR Chris on X Twitter. And you can find me on the /radio Discord, just spending my time posting memes about Mikey.
Yeah, he do spend his times doing that, don't you, Chris? You enjoy that shit very much.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Aggie, let everybody know where they can find you.
So you can find me on Twitch at AggieGal15. I stream DVD, Fortnite, whatever, demonologist, whatever y'all like, horror stuff. I'm here for it. TikTok at AggieGal15.
Hey, she does have a little bit of a Fortnite problem.
Is this a crack
giveaway? Yeah.
I hate you. Hey, they also have a Halloween thing coming out soon. Okay. I don't want to talk about it.
And Shaq.
Yes.
I have Shaq.
Speaking of, Mikey has Shaq.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. He does have Shaq. But TikTok at AggieGal15 and Twitter, which I very rarely post, but sometimes I will share /radio things. I am at AllisonAggie15 on there.
yeah, you can check me out in her Twitch chat regularly. I'm pretty much there whenever Aggie is streaming and busting her balls to the absolute best of my ability. I try really hard, guys. And anybody who can go there and check it out and bust her balls with me is greatly appreciated and help me fight the good fight that Agatha, because she'll attack me.
You can suck it.
She says things like that to me all the time while she's streaming, while I'm playing with her on her stream. It's really a sin. So I need as many people on the side of good as we can get. So
that's definitely wild. Check that out. That's wild. Okay.
Also factual. All right, guys, the outro you're about to hear for this episode only is a work of art by Ice9Kills. Make sure you go check them out. They're at Ice9Kills on everything. The music video to A Work of Art is in theaters today only. Terrifier 3 is in theaters starting tonight. If you don't have your tickets for either one of those, what in the hell are you doing? Go get them right now. Go check it out right now. The video's crazy. The song is amazing. Terrifier 3 is going to be out of control. So good. I can't wait. Thank you again to Spencer for hopping on with us. We hope to talk to them again very soon. All right, guys, we will be back next week. Rob, we have to. What's next week? We have to. Next week is nothing. We have to have a banger next week. Can we agree that we will tie Kat down and one way or another come up with a banger movie, horror movie to talk about next week?
Yeah, sure. The Mousetrap is out.
Jesus Christ. Good night from Slash Radio. I can't do nothing, dude. I try and do something positive in The Mousetrap. What's wrong with you?
Good night, you
but making fetch a thing, it's not going to be a thing.
Objective as he stabs and hacks and sees.